So I'm going to tell you about myself. I'm a sculptor, as she mentioned. And this is a talk about creativity, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I became a sculptor. And the setup is, I believe that the raison d'etre for a lot of my work as a sculptor has to do with some of my childhood experiences. And so the question is, can childhood experiences set the stage for your life and your artistic persona? One of the questions you could ask is, did George Washington really cut down that tree? Does that have anything to do with him being a great president? Vincent van Gogh cut his ear off in a fit of artistic mania, or was he just suffering a temporal lobe seizure? So for me, the question is, what were some experiences that influenced me as a young artist and as a young person, which is where it all started, this childhood narrative. So I'm going to tell you, first I was born into a creative family. My father was an artist. I have his catalog out there. He married a woman who was an artist in art school. And I have several aunts that are artists. I have an aunt who's a poet. I have a brother who's a painter. I have another brother who's a lawyer. He doesn't count. So I was raised in this tremendously nurturing, cultured family that went to art museums and looked at paintings, and so I can converse pretty naturally about artists and artwork. But nothing in that narrative said anything about how I would become a sculptor much later in life. So I have two stories I wanted to tell you about that I think in retrospect influenced my choices. The first one was I grew up in Detroit, which as you all know is the center of automobile manufacturing. And I think all of the children in metropolitan Detroit made this trip to Mecca to visit automobile manufacturing plants and steel manufacturing plants. And as a matter of fact, these places are now empty. I've returned later in life to see some of these places, and they're just full of tumbleweed and dust. So those factories have moved on. But as a grade school student, we all made that trip in a yellow school bus and took our lunch. And what impressed me, what really stays in my memory, is this space that we were able to walk above on these catwalks, kind of like the movie Alien, where all the action takes place on these catwalks up above this. And if anyone's familiar with the Prince of Piranesi, they're these cavernous spaces that go on in your imagination forever. You think that they'll never end, and of course, that's the people that work there. Thought this would never end. So down below us, on the floor below us, was all the activities of steel manufacturing. And in one area, you saw the building was quite dark. It wasn't very well lit, and very loud and noisy and dirty. And in one area, you would see steel ingot being poured from the furnaces, so it was spark and flame. And then it would be made into these huge steel ingots that would be rolled out gradually smaller and smaller down into this steel plate. And so this was going on. Everywhere you looked, there was activity. There was nothing from nature in this building. This was all man-made. The floor, the ceiling, everything that was happening there had nothing to do with natural processes, except what was, the smelting of this material that comes out of the ground, obviously. So this memory stuck in my mind, and if you visit my studio, which of course you're all welcome to do, it still looks like, it looks kind of like this. I have tall 25-foot ceilings, I have a forge, I have hammers, I do a lot of metal casting, and it's smelly and dirty, and that's my favorite place to be. So that was a very, in retrospect, a very important memory to recall later on in life. The other memory had to do with a childhood, a school-age science project. And I'm sure everyone here has had to do, you know, the ubiquitous science project. And in my particular case, I would always look to my dad, who was the active person in my family. He was never very good at helping me with my math homework. I always flunked that. But if there was ever any kind of creative project, I would ace it. And this project, I totally aced. So my father was a painter, and he taught at a nearby art school called Cranbrook Academy. And he, what he taught there was anatomy for artists, and their project was to assemble the skeletons of large mammals. They would retrieve these animals from the slaughterhouses, and they'd have to reassemble the internal skeleton as part of their learning process. Of course, you all remember Da Vinci, who did a lot of dissection, so it was kind of along that line. So his idea for me was that I would dissect a puppy. Somewhere, I don't know if he bought it. I don't know where he got it. He says he got it from the pound. It was a euthanized dog. He brought it home, and we made a fire out in the backyard. And this is true. I don't have the results of it, but I have the picture of the fire pot. It was a galvanized pot, and he put lye in the water and made a little fire. And this fire went on for, I think, 24 to 36 hours. And we, after it was all completed, then we managed to separate the bones from the material and lay them out onto a table. And they were white and clean, and I didn't know how to build this thing. And so Dad showed me how the bones moved from small to large and how the faceting fit perfectly one into the other. There was no owner's manual needed. You could just follow the structure out to the skull. So we went from the tail to the skull, and then we did the legs, the forearms and the back legs, and erected this structure, put it on a wooden base, and sort of stapled it up, and it stood up, and it was just a great science project. And of course, like I said, I got I aced that one. But the important thing that I learned from putting these bones together, and I owe my father a lot, but this is a really important one, was that as I learned to make sculpture much later in life, I now make my sculpture using these intuitive processes where pieces fit together in such a way so that I can take it apart and put it back together, move it, put it in my van, put it in a car, put it on a trailer or whatever, and mostly I can get through a door. So if it's all torn apart, I know that the parts all go back together, and I know exactly how they go back together. So I can disassemble it, get it through a small door, and then reassemble it, up to the ceiling. So if you're interested in coming to see how I do these things, I left a little card out there, and just look me up, and I'll give you a visit to my factory, my art factory. Thank you.